Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Chof Hei. We're holding in the middle of the Perek. Last week we discussed the evil laws of the city of Sodom and why that's that they deserve to be destroyed, what they were doing wrong. This week, Be'ezer Hashem, we're going to discuss two specific stories of what they did wrong in Sodom, and then we're going to talk about the story of the destruction of Sodom and whatever comes after that. So last week we ended off with we were discussing different crazy laws that they had in Sodom from the Gemara and Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Tes. So there's one last story over there in the Gemara that we didn't read yet. So we'll start from that story and then we'll go into what it says in the Medrash. Kuf Tes and Mebezes and Sanhedrin, Gemara says, Hahi Revisa, there was a girl, Tava Kamatka Rifta La'ani Bechatzba. She was giving bread to a poor man from her jug. Igloyim Milsa, they found out about it. The matter became revealed that that's what she was doing. So what did they do? Shafua duvsha. They smeared her in honey. Viikmua al igar shura. And they put her out. They put her out on top of the roof of the wall to the city. Asa ziburi viachlua. And the wasps came and they ate her and killed her and whatever because there was honey all over her. And they decided they like honey. This is what it means. The Gemara says this is what it means when it says in the pasuk, "Vayomer Hashem zakas sodem va'amoyro ki roba." Hashem said the crying of Sodom and Amora is very great. "Va'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav al iske riva." Like the Gemara's dashing, it says "rava" that it's great. So Gemara's dashing as if it says "riva," which means a girl in Aramaic. So "al iske riva," because of this girl, that's what Hashem was what contributed. I guess that's the Gemara's sort of saying that's the straw that broke the camel's back. That's what Hashem decided that we're going to destroy Sodom. Over here, the Medrash is going to say a somewhat similar story. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now we're back in Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Hichrizu b'Sodom v'amru." They announced or they called out in Sodom and they said, made an announcement. Call me shu machzik yaday b'fas lechem la'ani l'gev heaven yisorif ba'esh. Any person who supports by giving a loaf of bread to a poor man or to a foreign visitor or to someone who's a destitute, yisorif ba'esh, he should be burnt in a fire. And we're going to see that Sodom was punished mida keneged mida because they said that if you support aniyim, you get burnt in a fire, so they're going to be burnt in a fire. Like it says in the pasuk, it says, "Gofis v'merach tzveif, alois zov leis asvech v'lo yalev okaleisev, kemapecha Sodom la'amoyo admo tzvoim asher afach Hashem ba'apoy v'chamasui." Gofis v'merach, fire and brimstone, whatever, it literally means salt and sulfur, but like they call it fire and brimstone, sreifa kol arza, it burnt the whole land. You wouldn't be able to plant in it, and nothing will grow. Like the upheaval of Sodom v'Amora, Admon Tzvoim, the five cities, asher afach Hashem ba'apoy v'chamasui, that Hashem flipped them upside down in his anger. So that's the destruction of Sodom. Says the Medrash like this. Plaitis, a girl named Plaitis, Bitei Shalait Haisa. Bitei Shalait, who was the daughter of Lait, Haisa Nesua La'achad Megedele Sodom. She was married to one of the Chash of the people in Sodom. Why is her name Plaitis? Where does Plaitis come from? So the Sefer Yashar says that when Lait was saved from the war of the four kings and the five kings, so he was a refugee of the war. So he's like a polite, a pleita, a refugee, a remnant. So therefore he named his daughter Plaitis because she was born right after that war. And the Radha makes a cheshbon that the Gemara in Shabbos and Yud Aleph and Beis says that from the war of the four kings against the five kings until Sodom was destroyed was 26 years. So it comes out that Lait's daughter was 26 years old at this point, and she was married to one of the Choshuva families in Sodom. We're going to see that Lot himself married his wife from Sodom. Lot's wife herself was from Sodom, and the Ratzal says that over here we're saying what's the point of saying that she was married to one of the Choshuva people of Sodom? Agav, you know, Lot himself was also a Choshuva person, so we're going to see that he was one of the judges in Sodom. We said that he was very rich also, that's why he had to split off from Avraham Avinu, because there wasn't enough room for the both of them. But what's the point of saying that his daughter was married to a chashuv, a person from Stoim. So Radal says, because we're going to see later on what, that she did some nice things, and people decided, no, they're going to give her the full punishment for those nice things that she did. They didn't have rachmanis, even though she's from a chashuv family in the, in their own society. Okay, what did she do? Ruaza ani echad meduktok. She saw a very poor person. Ani meduktok is like bediktok. He was ramish, very poor. Exactitude, very poor. The other gears in the Yakush Shemaini is meduktok, which means like doch is like smashed. It's another lashon of poorness that we find in Tanakh. So ani echad meduktok or meduktok, a very poor person. Berchoyva ir, he was in the Berchoyva ir on the street in the city. V'agma not, right, because we know that, you know, in Stoim they didn't accept any guests, so obviously he was sleeping in the street in the city because there was no one else for him to sleep. V'agma nafsha aleha alav, and her soul was distressed over him. She felt bad for him. She felt his pain. So me ha'isa ha'isa, what did she do? B'chol yom k'she ha'isa yitzeis lishev mayim, which every day when she would go out to draw water, ha'isa nesanes b'kad shela b'kol mezayin beisa. She would put in her jug all types of mezainos, food from her house, and she would support and she would sustain that poor man. Amru anshei Sodom, so the people of Sodom said, this poor man, from where is he living? How is he still alive? No one's supposed to be giving him any food, right? Until they found out the matter, in Sefer Yosha it says that they like put up spies to keep an eye and see exactly what's happening, how is he getting food, whatever. They saw, they figured out she's the one that's doing it, and they decided, they took her out to burn her, because that's the punishment. If you give food to a poor person, you get burnt. So they were going to go execute her through fire. Amra, she said, Elikei Olam, God of the universe, asay mishpati v'dini me'anshei Sodom, do my justice and my din from the anshei Sodom. Meaning she asked Hashem, you know, Hashem, they're going to kill me, but at least, you know, take my revenge. Give them what they deserve. Also, zakasa lefnei kisei hakavod, her crying out ascended up to the kisei hakavod of Hashem. Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, "Erdenu ve'ereh, I'm going to come down and see hakatzakaso haba'a elai, like her crying out that comes. Do these people do right? This we said in the beginning of the parak, that Hashem came down by Slim to check if they were really doing as bad things as people were davening to Hashem about, and that's when Hashem went to destroy Slim." The Medjur says, Im kitzakas ha'ba elai, like her crying that's coming to me. Im kitzakas hanara hazois also anshistoim. Hashem said that if, like, the crying out of this girl, the people of Sodom actually did, I'm gonna upheave it and switch it. The foundations of it, which are usually in the bottom, I'm going to make that on top, and the face of the city is going to go on the bottom. I'm going to flip it upside down. Shnemar, it says the pasuk, hakatzakasa, like her calling out, like her crying. Hakatzakasa me'enksiv, it doesn't say like they're crying, ela hakatzakasa, like her crying. So we see from here that it's because of her crying out. The pashat pshat in the pasuk is that the word ear, the word city, is lashon nekeva. So when you're talking about the calling out of the people of the city collectively, you could refer to it in Lashon Nekeva as if it's her calling out, even though it means they're calling out. But the Medrash is making a drasha to say as if it's a singular individual woman or girl that was calling out, and that she was the reason why Hashem decided to finally destroy Sodom. So we have these two stories over here. We have a story in the Gemara. Yeah, Rabbi Epstein, we have some cookies also. We have a story in the Gemara that says that there was a girl who gave bread to a poor man, and you know what they did? Rabbi Epstein, you know what they did to her? They smeared her with honey, and they had, and there was a girl in Stein who gave bread to a poor man. So what did they do to her? They smeared her with honey, and they left her out to the bees or the wasps to eat her. That's one story. That's out in Gemara. Yeah. So here in Pirkei Avos we said a different story, that there was a girl that the daughter of light who sustained the poor man, and they took her out to kill her by fire. And she called out and davened to Hashem or whatever. So we have these two stories over here. Interestingly, that in the Zohar in Parshas Vayera in Daf Kufa Amud Beis, the Zohar says that story that we said from the Gemara, the Zohar says that happened to the daughter of light. The daughter of light gave bread to a poor man, and they smeared her with honey and whatever. The Zohar says that about the daughter of light. This story over here in Pirkei Avos was said about the daughter of light. It could be there's different gear stories of the same story, but the way the Radal brings from Sefer Yashar, the Sefer Yashar says there were two stories. One was the story that we brought here in Pirkei Eliezer. This was the daughter of light, and it says that story happened in Stoim and Amayra. And the other one, the story that the Gemara brings, so Sefer Yashar says that happened in a different city from the five cities of Adma, and that was a different story. But there's two stories that contributed to Hashem's decision to destroy Sidaim and the surrounding area. Targum Yonasan Agav, we say that Targum Yonasan usually follows Pirkei Eliezer, but over here Targum Yonasan just says that on the pasuk of Ahaketzaka saw. So Targum Yonasan just says that like the calling out of Plaitis, the daughter of light, but he doesn't say which story he's talking about. It just says the calling out of the daughter of light. Why? And there's an interesting nekuda over here.
Meaning that it could be
It could be either this story or the story in the Gemara. It's not clear exactly. But there's an interesting point over here. And that point is, the Radal says like this, that we find that the people of Stoim, they didn't want to give bread or sustenance, bread and water to poor people or people that were visiting. So it says that we know that the Targum Yonasan says, and we're going to mention this again later on, but Targum Yonasan says that Lloyd's wife was also from Stoim. She was originally from Stoim. So it says that it comes out that all of Lloyd's descendants are genealogically, let's say, Sidoimites. They're also from Stoim. And who are the two main descendants of Lloyd that we know of? Amon and Moav. And we find this midah by Amon and Moav. Amon and Moav didn't want to give bread and water to Klal Yisrael when they're coming to them in the Midbar. Right? The pasuk in Parshas Ki Tse. So Amon and Moav didn't want to give bread and water. So we see that Amon and Moav followed in the footsteps of their Sodomite ancestors. Interesting point.
We shouldn't forget that the mothers
what?
Were also like born there, and they absorbed the culture.
But there's two exceptions. And the Gemara says that the reason why Hashem allowed that the female people from Amon and Moav, you are allowed to marry, just the males are not allowed to marry, is because Hashem said, I have two beautiful birds, but it means like girls that I want to join Klal Yisrael, and they're going to be the mothers of the kingdom of Malchus Beis David. And those are Rus HaMoyavi and Naamah HaAmonis. Rus was the great-grandmother of David Melech, and Naamah was the wife of Shlomo Melech, and from her came all the kings afterwards, right? So we find that there were two women that Dafko did join Klal Yisrael.
Did they bring another reason?
What?
Isha.
Yeah, the Gemara says that also. But the Gemara says because they prayed their service that Hashem wanted Dafko to join Klal Yisrael, that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be Markiv onto Klal Yisrael, to graft onto Klal Yisrael. So the Radal says an interesting point. He says that we have these two stories of two girls that Dafko and Moshe Nevesh to not follow in the footsteps of Stoim. So he says, and their schar was that from their descendants we're going to have two people that are going to join Klal Yisrael that are going to be an exception to the ban on Amon and Moav. It's an interesting point that the Radal says. Who are you asking about, the girls or about Rus and Naamah?
No,
about Rus and Naamah.
Rus and Naamah, yeah.
Right, we find that Rus and Orpah, you know, they were married to Malkah and Akilah, and remember, you know, the story of Megillas Rus, and that the other one didn't, her sister-in-law didn't want to join Klal Yisrael. No, she wanted to still be like live like a goy and whatever. But Ruth Dafka wanted to. She did the chesed that she helped out her mother-in-law Naomi, and she was doing all kinds of nice things for her, and then, you know, Boaz heard about all the nice things and stuff like that. So we see that she was doing the opposite of the cruelty that we find by Stoim. Nama Hamaynes, I don't know exactly where we find that she was doing Tafka Chesed. Do you know any offhand? I'm not sure. I don't know offhand of something that says that she was Dafka doing Chesed, but that's the basic idea.
The mother of Rechavim.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know offhand, but there's another Nakuda that I was thinking of. It's not even a half-baked idea. It's just like, it's like maybe a little bit of dough that I put together that you can maybe build something on it. Just the Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Tzadik Aleph says that the name of David HaMelech's mother was Natzeves. That's what the Gemara says. It's also brought in a few other places, but it's a Gemara in Bava Basra, Natzeves. It's not mentioned anywhere explicitly in Tanakh. But the Gemara says her name was Natzeves. Now Natzeves means a pillar. And we're going to see at the end, the Lot's wife turned into Netziv Melach, a pillar of salt. So I'm thinking that maybe this has something to do with David Melach's mother, being that her name was Pillar. Maybe that has something to do with what we're talking about over here. I'm not sure. I don't know how to build on this idea. I just, like, this is something I came up with one night when I was on the bus. I'm not sure how to develop it more. Okay, let's go right there. V'chein hu Omer. And also, it says in the Pasuk, and Mishlei, there's two, the way the Radal says it, if you have this gersa of Echein Hu Omer, then it's continuing, the Medrash is talking still about the daughter of Lot. There's another gersa that says Harei Hu Omer, in which case we're starting a new topic and we're going to talk about Lot himself. But let's go with the Pashas that it's going with, we're talking about the daughter of Lot. That's a Pasuk in Mishlei. A person who goes with wise men, he becomes wise. What does that mean? To what is this comparable to? The Mishnah Nechlas Abes Amerkachim. A person who goes into, in modern Hebrew, means a pharmacy, but it means a place where they smash different spices and besamim and stuff like that. Afal pi shelo lokach v'lo nasan klum. Even though he didn't go there, he didn't buy or he didn't sell anything. Maestro Kech means smashing, yeah. Right. Right, smashing spices or something. In modern Hebrew, it means a pharmacy, because like that's sort of what a pharmacist does. Like, you smash different chemicals and different things, put it together. It's sort of the same idea, sort of. A guy goes into a base of Merkachim, and he's not buying or selling anything. He takes the good smell from the spice factory. Let's call it a spice factory, yeah? He takes the good smell from the spice factory and he leaves with that good smell on him. Kach, so too, call me shu hoilechim le tzadikim, any person who goes with the righteous people. Lekech mi darcheihem umayseim atovim. He takes from their ways and their good deeds, and he also gets some sort of a little bit of a residue of a good smell also. A person who, I don't know how to translate it exactly, but I think it means like a shepherd of fools, he himself will need to be shepherded. A person who hangs out with stupid people, he's going to become stupid, basically. That's what it's saying. L'mahu doyme, what's this comparable to? L'adam shu nichnas leves ha-bursiki. A person who goes into a tannery, which is a place where they treat leather in order to make it usable. And apparently, it's evident throughout the Gemara that in different, all kinds of different places, that a tannery smells really, really bad. When you're working with leather, it's like the equipment or whatever, the chemicals and the process, whatever, it just smells really, really bad.
Why?
Why?
They use the feces of animals to work the leather.
Okay. So, what? Right. Okay, yeah. Same. Alcoponics, it smells really bad because apparently they use animal feces to process the leather. Right? So, Alpha Mishalay Nazim Lelakach Klum, even though he didn't buy or sell any leather, Bechal, when we come up and Reach Ra Kolat Vahitzi Imai, his body sort of it absorbs some of the bad smell, and when he comes home, he also has that bad smell. Kach Mishu Oherechim Rishoim, so to a person who goes with Rishoim, like Kech Me Darchem, and I say Moroim, he takes from their bad their bad paths and their bad deeds. Shemar v'riach esilim yeroya. So the implication is that the daughter of Lot, even though she lived in Sodom, but her family had shaychus to Avraham Avinu, and they grew up, you know, with a proper education or whatever, so she had some residue, some remnant of a good smell, so she did these good deeds to give mezainos to this poor man. Or if you want to understand, it's talking about Lot, so it sounds like Lot himself had shaychus to Avraham Avinu, so he had the residue from the good smell. Agav, you know, they say about Yeshiva Bachar, right? If he smells like smoke, so you don't have to be chayshish that he's smoking, because it just means that he was hanging out with people that smoke. But if he smells like cologne, then you have to be chayshish that he's smoking. You never heard that one? Let's say that. Dover Acher. So the Medrash says a different pshat in that pasuk. Hoylech es chachamim yachgam. A person who walks with chachamim, with a wise man, he becomes wise. Ze light. This is talking about light. This is why I didn't want to say that the previous Medrash was talking about light, because now we're talking about light. Shoyim ha'alechim Avraham Avinu v'lomim rimaisav v'midarcha v'toyim. Because light would go travel with Avraham Avinu, and he would learn from the deeds and the paths, the good deeds and the good paths of Avraham Avinu, and that's what he would follow. Amru, Chazal said, "Me asa Avraham Avinu? What did Avraham Avinu do? Asa lo bayis kavel l'charan. He made a bayis kavel l'charan, a house of acceptance in Charan." The Radal compares this to a Gemara that says, Chazal tell us, "Vayita eishel beve'er shava." Avraham Avinu made an eishel in Be'er Shava. That what's an eishel? Famous Rashi brings it also in Chumash. Eishel is Rishi Tevis, achila, shtia, and lina, eating, drinking, and sleeping. That basically Avraham Avinu opened a hostel in Be'er Sheva where he could come and eat and drink and sleep there or whatever, and it was a open house. That's what but this is about Be'er Sheva. But by the time Avraham Avinu was in Be'er Sheva, so light was already separated from Avraham Avinu. But the Medrash over here is being mechadish to us that even when Avraham Avinu was in Choron, before he even came to Eretz Yisrael, he was already doing the Sachnosos Archim. He was already activities.
When he lived in
Afghanistan,
Pakistan, Turkey,
whatever.
What? Over
there. What? Haran? Yeah. Haran is like in Syria, no?
Yeah.
Pashtus. That's off of the Tigris.
Is Turkey?
Kurdistan, I don't know. Yeah, probably somewhere, I don't know exactly. Haran Misha Nichnas Yetzil Haran, anyone who would enter and go out to Haran, Haran Mekablai Vinaysin Le Machala Yamashkeu. Avraham Avinu would accept him and give to him food and drink. He would feed him and he would drink him. No, that's the word I'm looking for. He would quench his thirst. I don't know. And Avraham Avinu would tell him about the unity of Hashem, and that there's only one Hashem in the world. There's a famous manager that say, I remember this when I was a little kid, that he would give them food or whatever, and then at the end he would tell them, like, okay, now, like, you know, you're supposed to bench because you have to thank Hashem for all this food, you know. And then if they bench, so okay, fine. If they didn't bench, and they didn't thank Hashem for the food, so then he's like, okay, so you didn't thank Hashem, so you understood that the food comes from me, so I have to pay for the food. So here's the bill. So like either they'll thank Hashem or thank me by paying me. It's like something like that, and that's how he got them to admit that Hashem exists. And when Lot came to Sodom, this is what he would do. He would do the same thing as Avraham Avinu. That's what it sounds like it's saying. But the Radal says no. It doesn't mean he would do exactly the same thing as Avraham Avinu, because that would mean that Lot was a big tzaddik. He was doing kiruv. He was doing chesed. He was doing all these different things. And we said before that Lot needed a certain schus. He needed Avraham Avinu to daven from. He didn't deserve to be saved on his own. He said the Radal says it's not mestaber that Lot did exactly what Avraham Avinu was doing. But he did, like we said before, he got like some of the residue of the good aroma, of the good smell. So he was doing some of it, to some extent, but not the exact same thing. What?
Well, it sounds like he learned only for the good deeds and from them. He didn't learn from bad deeds of Stoim, according to this.
That's what I'm saying, that He was only getting a little bit of the good smell. He didn't get like the whole.
But he didn't get the bad smell of stone. So
we'll see in a moment exactly how bad the.
Another question I have is that he mentioned last week the three judges, right?
And yeah.
Blake was not one of them.
Three or four or five judges, or yeah. We're going to get to it in a moment also. Fine. Once the people of Stoim made a proclamation or a declaration, they said, they made a declaration, like we said earlier, that anyone who is machzik yada, he takes his hand and gives bread to a poor man or to someone who is destitute, he shall be burnt in the fire. If you give bread to a poor person, you get burnt. So, Loit was too scared to do it in the day, his hachnasas arachim, so he only did it at night. You see already, you know, the laws of Stoim is affecting Loit's hanhaga, and he's being mitzamtem, he's limiting the good that he was doing from before. Right. Now we're going to talk about the story of the destruction of Stoim. Right, it says in the pasuk, "Vayavayu shnei hamalachim sdoima ba'erev." The two malachim, the two angels, came to Stoim in the evening, right? Because, as we said, light was only his hachnasas arachim was only open at night; it wasn't open during the day. So the two malachim dafka came at night. What?
That's the reason.
Ra shnei hamalachim, the two angels saw. Loit saw the two angels, and it was at night. And Loit thought that they were visitors in the land. So Varatz across them, he ran to greet them. It says in the pasuk, "Vayu shnei malachim sedayma, vayar v'loit yeshev b'shtar sedayim." And the pasuk, continuing the pasuk, it says, "V'loit yeshev b'shtar sedayim." Loit was sitting in the gate of Stoim. Vayar Loit. Loit saw them, vayokum lekros them, and he got up to greet them. Vayishach l'apayim arzo, and he bowed down to them. Where does it say that Loit ran to greet them? It doesn't say that. It says vayar Loit vayokum lekros them, and got up to greet them. He saw them and he got up to greet them. Where does it say that he ran to greet them? So the Radal brings from the Maribasan, one of the big Sfardi Achrayim, is quoted in the Chayshim Mishpat a lot, and Yeridei Eben Ezra also. He has a tshuvas called Shalos Tshuvas Lachmei Toida. In the end of Simon Choftes and Shalos Tshuvas Lachmei Toida, so the Maribasan says a chiddush. It says in the pasuk Vayar Loit. Loit saw them. So he wants to make a gzeir shavu. It says Vayar Loit. And it says Vayavram Avinu Vayisrael Vayar Vein Ishlo Shanashim Nisavim Olav Vayar. So it says Vayar by Avram Avinu with the three malachim in the beginning of Parshas Vayera that we spoke about in the beginning of the parak. And now it says Vayar Loit about these two malachim again later on. So it says that just like by Avram Avinu it says Vayar, and then it says Vayaratz Lekrasam Epesach Ha'el, he ran to greet them. So too we'll say that by Loit also he ran to greet them. Even though it doesn't say it but Farish in the pasuk, we'll make some sort of drasha like this. It's an interesting drasha. Ain Adam Don Gzer Shavar Me'atzvay. I don't know. It's like a Gzer Shavar. It's not really a Gzer Shavar. V'lama haya yeshev Loit b'shar Stoim. Why was Loit sitting in the gate of Stoim? Right. So v'Loit yeshev b'shar Stoim. Why was he sitting in the gate? Ela shohayis ayoy minuhu alav. On that day they appointed him upon themselves. Meaning on that day they made Loit into a judge. That Loit got his major promotion. That day Loit was a judge. Now I found the Medrash Tanchuma HaYoshan, which is printed by Buber, Parshas Vayera, Sichaf Aleph. It says that Loit was one of the judges of Stoim, and he was the worst one of the judges of Stoim. Well, it says of the five judges of Stoim, Loit was the worst one.
Well, so he got corrupted on one day?
I don't know. Power corrupts. What do they say? They say power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Wow. Light for sure was a Semite.
What?
Light for sure was a Semite. No question.
Light?
Alright. Light was from Meijin. No?
Well, yeah, because he was from Avramovich.
Maybe that's the answer why he was not listed as one of the judges, because he just became judge then.
Just then, right, yeah. That's I meant to say.
He had time to put on the list.
Right.
It's very interesting. Well, what are the criteria? You know, who's eligible? Who would be eligible to be
the more cruel you are, yeah, and the more sadistic you are, it's like the Israeli Supreme Court.
Oh my God.
The more leftist you are, then the more chances are that you'll become a judge.
They say one word about the Yiddish to me out of it.
Yeah.
I heard someone.
Except that what's it, like Eliakim Rubinstein is like officially from, you know.
Officially, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, I think he even wears a kippah.
He comes to the minion every day also.
I don't know.
That's what he says.
But, Israeli Supreme Court politics. Al Kaponim, Heviam, Lloyd brought them in. V'omar lahem, he said to them, Boyu v'linoi b'sich b'si, come and sleep in my house. V'ichlu v'shsu v'sechu lo darcheichem b'sholim. And you come and you eat and you drink, and then you'll go off on your journey in peace. Agav, the lashon of the pasuk is like this. The lashon of the pasuk is Suruna el beis avdechem. Come, turn off the road to come to the house of your servant. Meaning, come to my house. Velinu and sleep here. Rachat ragleichem and wash your feet. Vishkamtem v'alachtam ladarchichem. And you'll wake up early in the morning and you'll go out on your way. Why does it have to wake up early in the morning? So the Radal says because the Lord was too scared to do Echnas Alachim during the day, but if they wake up early in the morning and they leave before daybreak, no one's going to come. Yeah, because he's risking it.
Let's say someone is like in the gap from back in the sleep.
Right. Insomnia. The Lord, Mistama, nobody was going for a walk in the middle of the night over there because it wasn't so safe.
You're going for a walk in
Harlem, man. Right. And the angels, no, they didn't accept him. They said, no, it's okay. Kivur Achayv Noli. And they said, we'll sleep in the street. We'll be beseder. Don't worry. No, he grabbed their hand and he forced them to come to his house. He pushed them because even though they were saying, no, it's okay. He said, no, I want you to come. I'm taking you in. Shneimat says in the pasuk, Vayifta b'ma'id. He pressured them very much so. He almost forced them to come into his house because he didn't want them to sleep on the street. And the Radal says that this was min hashamayim because really we said before that Light didn't really have the zchuyos to merit. He didn't really deserve to be saved. So Hashem made it that the Malachim said no, so then Light will like push them in order to be his guests. So he'll have like an extra schus, like he's going the extra mile to help them out. That really they don't even want it so much, but he's dafka pushing them.
Why are Hashem want? Because of Avraham?
Yeah, I guess so. That once Avraham Avinu davened that he should be saved, so Hashem wanted to give Lloyd a chance that he should be saved on his own merits to some extent. Ra'a Isam Nar Echad Mi Anshei Sodom. One kid from the people of Sodom saw these guests coming into Lot's house, and he went out and he told everyone in Sodom about this. And that was their chinuch. That if you see a guy destroying, I don't know, property from the Iriah or something like that, right? So you're gonna call up the Iriah and tell them kid is destroying property or he's making trouble or something like that, right? That's the chinuch, right? If a kid sees somebody doing something bad, so you'll call the police or something like that. What?
I'm not Israeli.
Why? People don't do that. Okay. But in Stoim, the chinuch was the opposite. If you see somebody doing something good, so you have to tell everybody look what this guy's doing. The shady stuff. It's like, if you saw a guy doing something good, you call the police and tell him, hey, there's a guy over here in this street. He's bringing in guests. He'll come down here with the SWAT team and make sure to get them out of his house.
It's like in Russia, you saw a guy diving checkers. Yeah, I saw a guy diving.
Yeah. So that's the derech of the kids. If they see someone doing something bad, they'll tell other people about it. Here, the derech of the kids in STEM was if they see somebody doing something good, they tell everyone about it. V'higilam, he told people, v'neskavtei lov kulam, al pesach habayis lasas kimin hogam. All the people of Stoim came around the house of by the entrance to Light's house, and they wanted to do like their minig. Amru, right? Remember what their minig was? What's their minig?
They used to take them out and do all the...
Right, Gemara says the managed to sodomize them and to take all their money and then to leave them out on the street naked. Right, we said that earlier in the parak. So that's what they wanted to do. from his captain of Kulam, on the light they said to light, Ayeho Anashim Asher Bo Elacha Halayla, Hoitziyam Eleinu V'Neda A'isam. Where are those people that came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we could, quote unquote, know them. Reitzim Arnu Lasses Kamen Agenu. What do we mean we want to know them? It means we want to do like Arminic. Arminic is to do these different things to whenever we have guests. So bring out the guests so we can do whatever we want to them. So it's an interesting point over here that the Medrash said, how did all the people find out that Lloyd took in guests? How did they know about it? And this kid, right? It's Nar Echad. So the Bayis HaGadol says that there's a diuk like this in the Psukim. Because the Pasuk says, Anshei Sidoim Nasubu ala Bayis Minar Va'adzokin. That the people of Sidoim surrounded the house from the kid to the elderly. And it says, it sounds like it started off with a kid and then it spread, like the whole city came, even the elderly. Well, Rashi says that a Nar was the one that brought the kid there.
Yeah, it started with a Nar.
The pasuk says, "Minar ve'adzokin." I don't see the Rashi. Rashi says different nukuda. Rashi says a different pasuk where it says that they became blind. It says mikatan ve'ad gadol. So Rashi says that the ketanim hitzchilu ba'aveira tchila. Rashi is not necessarily saying what we're saying. Rashi could just mean that the first people that were trying to make this mob were the kids, and then everyone else joined in. But the Bais HaGadol is saying a bigger chiddushim. This kid who saw it, he's the one that started all that. He told everyone about it. It's a little bit bigger chiddush than what Rashi says. Well, the Bais HaGadol, there's another medrash. How did the people of Stoim know that Lot had guests? So the Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Nun Aleph, Simen Hey. It says in the Medrash that the wife of Lot, why did she become a pillar of salt? So the Medrash says, because she did an aver with salt. Why? It says that night when Lot had the angels came to visit him, so she went around to all her neighbors and she asked them, can you give us salt? Not that we need salt for ourselves, but we have visitors. And so we need salt, and that's what she was telling all her neighbors. And her tachlis, her purpose, she was trying to get everyone to know that they had neighbors in their house, because we said before that Lot's wife herself was from Stein, so she had that midorah in her. So she wanted to like make trouble. So she was telling all her neighbors that she has visitors. Medrash Sekel Tov says it slightly differently. That not that she told them we have visitors, but she made a simon when she got married to Lot. And everyone knew that this Lloyd guy, he's a little bit shady. He takes guests sometimes, so we have to keep an eye on him. So they made a simon between her and their neighbors that if they ever have guests, so she'll go around to the neighbors and ask for salt, and then from that the neighbors will know that she has guests. Not that she told them that she has guests, but the point is that it was Lloyd's wife that spread the news about her having guests, according to that Medrash. And here the managers are saying that it was a Nar Echad that did it. Fine. Okay, so the people of the city are surrounding Light's house and they're saying, no, send out these two people, we want to do what we want to do with them. Me'as or Light, what did Light do? So the manager says, Kishem Shanasan Moshe Rabbeinu Nafshei Al Yisrael. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Nefesh, he gave up his life for Klal Yisrael. When Hashem said, I'm going to destroy the Jews and I'm going to start over from you. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you're going to do it, Mechenei Na Misifrecha. No, if you're going to destroy the Jews, you'll kill me also. And he gave up his life to save Klal Yisrael. Kach Nosan Light Nafshei Aleihem. So too, Light gave up his life in order to save these two guests. The Radal says that he went out on his own to go speak to this angry mob, and they could have killed him or done something to him, but he gave up his life to go speak to them to try to calm them down. Of course, he spoke to them and they weren't interested. So what did he do? Lokach shtei b'naisav v'haitzi lehem tachas shnei hamalochim. He took his two daughters and he offered to the mob his two daughters instead of these two, and instead of the two guests, the two angels. Shana says the pasuk hinei no li shtei v'nais. Behold, I have these two daughters. Shelo yadu ish, whatever, they were virgins. V'lei kiblu hanashim, the men didn't accept her. Didn't accept the girls. They wanted dafka these two guests. They didn't want any girls. They wanted dafka these two guests. So now they're in a bit of a pickle here.
Why?
It's an ideology, no? It's an ideology. It wasn't a taiva.
If it would have been a taiva, they would have preferred the...
Right. The corrupted ideology. It wasn't a taiva.
It's a bigger
design
for a man than for a lady, no?
Right, it's a bigger design for a man. It's a mission harius?
I'm not sure.
It's a mission harius. Because the mission harius says that if a man and a woman are kidnapped, so you're supposed to redeem a woman first and then a man, because otherwise the woman is... Because it's a big bizayin if they rape the woman or whatever. But if there's a chashash that they're going to do mishkav zachar to the man, so then you should redeem the man before the woman. Because it's a bigger gnai to a man to...
That he offered his pilegish, so they shouldn't take him.
Right. The same idea also.
It would be worse if they would have taken him and done it.
Right.
So what are the words of it?
Well, look, mishkav zachar is Issa Karis. Two unmarried women, a man and an unmarried woman, it's Isra Daraisa of Kadesha, according to the Rambam. We don't even pask in that it's Isra Lava of Kadesha, and like you have to know what Isra exactly it is. And this is Bnei Noach. Bnei Noach don't have a Lava of Kadesha. There's a Prima Gadim about it. If Bnei Noach have an Isser of Pnuya, where is this Prima Gadim? It's like in one of his like weird Svarim, like Tevas Gemma or like Paras Yosef, I don't remember. I spoke about this somewhere in my Sefer on Yevamos. I think he says that it is like an Isser essay for a Ben Noach to have relations with an unmarried woman from Vedovak B'Ishtay, Dafka Ishtay, and that. The Gemara says Ishtay V'lei Eshes Chavera, but he wants to say like also it includes anyone who's not Ishtay. Something like, I don't remember exactly, but I think there's such a prima goddam.
On the other hand, the plagish believer, she was plagish.
Right.
So even there, you see, it would be better that than
that. I think that's also Esther Karis to say. Yeah, I hear.
Zaka's a Tayeva Mamash.
Right. But there's only two things that the Torah calls Tayeva, right? Mishkov Zachar and, like, cheating on the measurements.
On what?
Cheating on measurements?
So the commandment is.
And scales.
Efron did Ravam.
Right.
That was the death of the
command. Okay. So, what did these two angels do to, I guess, to save themselves from this predicament over here? The two angels, you know, miraculously smit the people of Stoim with Ivarain, with blindness. Until the sun came up. It's not clear exactly what that means. Until the sun came up, and now we're going to discuss what happens when the sun comes up, or does it mean that they were only blind until the sun came up? The Radal has two studim. Does it mean that they were blind until the sun came up? Once the sun came up, then they were able to see again? Or, no, they were always blind. Just we mean this a kevin, shalom, and shachar, etc., etc., we're going to say next. And the Radal says, why would it be that Hashem made them become not blind? Why were they able to see again when the Amud when the sun came up? So the Radal says two nukudas. One is that when the sun came up, that's when they were destroyed, because Stoim was destroyed in the morning. So Hashem wanted them to be able to see their own destruction. That's one point. Another point is that it says in Targum Yonasan that before it started raining fire and brimstone from the Shemayim, first it was raining Matrin Derava. Rain of Ratzon, rain of Rachamim was coming down, so that to give them a chance to do tshuva. And then they didn't do tshuva. Then came the fire and the brimstone. That's what Targum Yonasan says. So the Radal says that. So, if they're all blind, then there's no point in having rain of Rachamim. They're not going to realize what's happening. So he says that it has to be that Hashem took away the blindness so that they could see, and then they saw this rain of Rachamim, which is giving them a chance to do tshuva, and then they didn't take that chance, and then they were destroyed. That's the Radal. Or he says that they were always blind, they never got healed. Kevin Shalom Moed Shachar, when the sun came up, Hakol Bimida. I don't know how to translate that. Hakol Bimida. Everything was measured. I'm not sure exactly what that means. But everything was measured. Kishem Shehik, and I guess it means like Hashem measured everything, and everyone's gonna get what they deserve. Kishem shehechzik lehem biyadam shleicher tzayna mechnisem besech besay. Just like light took the hands of these two visitors shleiber tzaynem against the will, and he brought them into his house. Kach hechziku biyadai uviyad ishtay uviyad shlevenayzav lesem b'chutz. So to the angels, they took his hand and his wife's hand and his two daughters' hand, and they, against their will, and took them outside of the city. That was Lot's zchus. He forced them to come as guests, so they forced him to like get out of the city before it was destroyed. What's the kishem sounds like bezchus, that he did that against their will, so they're doing this, they're saving him against their will. The Radha asks the question, what do you mean? Hashem sent these angels not going to go save them, so they're going to be saved anyway. So like, what's the, like, it sounds like if light wouldn't have taken them against their will, so they light wouldn't have been saved? So the Radha says that, yeah, it could, because light was hismamea, he was delaying, he was dilly-dallying, he was hesitating whether he should leave or not, so at that point the Malach Batsim could have said, okay, you don't want to come out? Fine. We'll go out and everyone will be destroyed and we don't care about you. But in this chus that he went the extra, went the extra mile and he pushed them to become, he pushed them in to bring him in as guests even though they didn't want to. So there, b'schus that, even though he was hesitating, they pushed him to come outside of the city. But if it wasn't for the fact that he pushed them in as guests, they would have been destroyed because he was hesitating. That's what the Radha wants to say. Such an idea. The angel said to them, "Al tabit acharechem, don't look backwards." The Radha says that the lashon of the pasuk is "Al tabit acharecha." You shouldn't look backwards in singular form, but the Medrash is saying "Al tabitu acharechem" in plural form because it's evident from the continuation of the story that the prohibition of looking backwards wasn't just going on Lot; it was going on the whole family. Don't look backwards. Why? Because the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu is coming down. And he's going to rain upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire. So don't look back. And we're going to see. Oh, so it says, Edith, the wife of Lot, her name was Edith. Other Gersois in the Yalkut, her name was Iris with a resh. And in fact, the Balaturim on Chumash says that the word Ishtoi in Gematria is Iris. It says Vatabet Ishtoi Me'acharav. It says Iris is the word Ishtoi is Gematria Iris with a resh. So there's like two different Gersois. Ramban also says Iris with a resh. I wrote down that the Pirush HaTorah, the Torah has two Pirushim on Chumash. One is like a short one, like Gematrias or whatever, that's what we're all familiar with. And he has like a longer Pirush HaTorah, Oruch HaTorah. So over there, he has a different gear, so Isis, with a Samach, Ayin Yud Samach Yud Tov. And then I found another gear, so what her name was, in Sefer Apliya, which is one of the early Kabbalah swarm, Rav Chaim Kanevsky brings it down, or that her name was Melach, her name was Salt. That's an interesting idea. Akapana, the wife of Lot, Nichmuru rachameha al bnei seha hanisuos bestoim. Her rachamim, her pity, was aroused over her daughters who remain, her married daughters who remain in stoim. Vehibita achareha lirais im hayu halchis achareha imlaf. And she looked backwards to see whether her married daughters who lived in stoim were coming after her or not. She wanted to see if her daughters were coming. The Radha brings that in Targum Yoenison, it says that this is the Targum Yoenison that we mentioned before, that Lot's wife was originally from Stoim, and Targum Yoenison says that Lot's wife was from Stoim, and when they were leaving Stoim, she looked backwards to see what's going to happen to her parents' family. That's why she turned backwards. Not because she was worried about her daughters, but because she was worried about her old family.
Why well, I mean, like he was maybe missing the whole thing. It was like she felt ashamed that the whole city was
being destroyed because she was from there.
She was from there, and she wanted it, she liked it.
Okay, so she. Right. So okay. So here it says her family or her daughters or her family or whatever. So she looked backwards to see if they were coming or what's going to happen with them. And she saw behind herself the Shechina. She saw the Shechina of Hashem. Or the Lashon of the Ramban is Achorei Hashchina. She saw the back of the Shechina. Like we said, like Moshe Rabbeinu saw the back of Hashem, that he was like wearing tefillin, kibiyachol, whatever that means. So here, the wife of Lot, either she looked back and she saw the Shechina, or she saw the back of the Shechina, different girsois. And what happened? V'nasis netziv malach. She became a pillar of salt. What does that mean, she became a pillar of salt? The Pasha says it means that she was a person and she turned into a pillar of salt. In fact, the Gemara in Masechet Nida and Daf Ayin Amid Beis, the Gemara says it's Pashit that the wife of Lot is not Metame Tumas Meis. If you touch the wife of Lot, you don't become Tame Meis. Because a dead body is Metame Tumas Meis, but a pillar of salt is not Metame Tumas Meis. She's not up to it anymore. She's a pillar of salt. It changed. She changed what she was. That's what the Gemara says. But on the other hand, Rabbeinu Yosef Bachar Shar al Torah, one of the Bali Atesis, he writes that no, what happened was that she was sort of like stuck in her place, I guess. And when Hashem brought down the salt raining on Sdaim, so the salt covered her, and then she was, what you were left with was a pillar of salt. So really, her body was still there. Just there was a pillar of salt on top of her, like she was covered in salt. That's what Rabbeinu Yosef Bachar Shar says. So either did she turn into salt, or she was covered in salt. Says the Medrash, V'adayin hi emedes, and she's still standing there. Now, today, she's still standing there. Kol hayayim leichichim eisa hashvarim. The Medrash says a very interesting thing. The whole day, oxen come and they lick at her. They lick the pillar of salt. V'yaredes al ragleha. I would say that it's supposed to say V'yaredes ad ragleha. And it would go all the way down to her feet. Meaning the whole day, the animals are coming and licking at this pillar of salt until it gets all the way down to her feet. And there would always be something left. And in the morning, every morning, it would grow up again. The whole pillar would go, the pillar of salt would grow up again. And she comes in Netziv Melech. It's like in present tense. She is a Netziv Melech. She is still a Netziv Melech. She's still there. And the Medrash is saying, it's a fascinating Medrash, I think, that every day there would be a whole pillar, and animals would come and lick at it and take away, eat away at the salt, until it gets like towards the bottom, and then the next morning she would grow back. It's a very interesting thing. Pirush Rekech al Torah says a similar thing, that every month it would grow, the first part, from the middle of the month, so that's like Tesvav of the month, till the end of the month, as the moon was waning, so the animals would come and lick at her and dissolve her, or whatever. And then at the beginning of the month, she would grow back as the sun as the moon is growing. Sorry, the moon is growing, the moon is waxing. So the pillar of salt would start waxing again. It's the same idea. Duras also brings it down b'shem Glilas Eretz Yisrael, that Chatzos Halayla is when it would be at its tallest, and then it would go down and down and down until the next day, or whatever. And it says that there would always be at least two tfachim, I think it said, two tfachim of her would always remain, and the rest of it would like go away and wax and wane. Interesting medrash about the daughter of about the wife of Lot. But okay. So we'll get back to this in a moment, but the question is like this: why did she turn into a pillar of salt? Like, what shaykh of salt? So Pasha Pshat, the Radal seems to go with this over here. The Radal says that the whole stem was affected by salt. There was salt that rained over the whole stem. She wasn't the exception. She was just part of the cloud. Right? The whole stem, and the Radal says a famous thing that we all heard of, but I don't know where we got it from, that says that the Yam HaMelach is where Sodom used to be. That's why it's salty, because Sodom was destroyed by salt, so that's where the Yam HaMelach is salty. Rashi and Chumash says a different Nukuda. Rashi says, the famous Rashi, he brings a Medrash in Bereshis Rabbah, Parshanun, Simen Dalet. The Rashi says that, why did she turn into salt? Because when Lot brought the guests, so Lot said to her, you know, maybe you could get some salt to go with the bread for them. And she said back to Lot, no, you're even going to try to bring this bad min, you're going to try to bring even this bad min into Stoim? And she refused to give salt to the guests. because she refused to give salt to the guest, so she got punished that she turned into salt. And we said before, the other medrash that says that she's the one that told everyone about it because she was asking for salt, so a different reason why she got punished. Now, the Mizrahi says an important nukud over here. And the Mizrahi, the way the Mizrahi says it is that, you know, Rashi is bothered by why did she turn into a pillar of salt, like say a pillar of dirt or a pillar of rocks or whatever. So Rashi is saying because of this story that she didn't want to give salt to the guests. And the Radal on Bereishis Rabbah also says that, but the Marash Yafeh on Medrash Rabbah, he says an important point over here. That she did two things wrong, Betsa. One is that she looked backwards, and one is whatever the story was where she did something wrong with salt. So the Marash Yafeh says that why is she killed? Why does she deserve to get punished? That's because we said don't look backwards, and she looked backwards. That's why she deserves the punishment. But how Hashem determined what type of punishment to give her? Why Dafka did she turn into a pillar of salt? That's because of a different story of something else that she did wrong. So there were like both things that happened over here. Okay, so that's why she turned into a pillar of salt. So it said that the Medrash said that she's still standing there, Ada Yemezeh. She's still Adayin here, Medrash, today she's still there. So the obvious question is, where is she? Let's go! We have to Yama Melech! Where is Light's wife? I want to go visit her.
When I went there, I didn't find her.
There's a sign there?
There's a sign there.
Oh, you found
Light's wife. I didn't find it.
Light's wife?
The Rosh Hashanah didn't find it.
The tourists.
No,
it's out there. So where's Light's wife?
Some professor who told me the imagine.
There's actually a very interesting villa there. The sort of a, you know, shape of a woman.
Yeah.
Person, maybe. And it's very tall. Like, in meters, like 5 meters, 4 meters.
How many feet is it?
It's mamish next to the Yama Melech.
Yeah. I don't know, 15 feet.
Yeah.
Which is
that tall?
Yeah.
No, it could be because people were taller back then.
Yeah, but still,
maybe. Still, yeah.
According to some opinions, there she was covered.
Right.
In salt. Didn't say that.
Right. Now. Where is she now? So the Radal asks this question, and the Radal writes like this. He writes that Reisi Kasuv. The Ikra Peshad in this is like what I saw people write. Shahaya Besviva Hahi Rash Eretz. That there was an earthquake in that general vicinity. And what happened was that the Yama Melach went out from where it's normally, its normal borders. It went out of where it normally is. And it swallowed up area that was around where the Yama Melach was. And it ended up swallowing this pillar of Eishes Light. And that's why we don't see it anymore. Because it was just like incorporated into the Yama Melach. That's what the Radal writes, that he saw that the Ikra is the, like these people that write this pshat. So I searched and searched and searched, and I could not find who writes this pshat. So I don't know where the Radal got this from. But while I was searching, I found some interesting things, which I'll share with you in a moment. Now the Radal writes this, and he says that that's the pshat, and then he takes it a step further. This is the Gemara in Sechas Brachas, in the last parak says, that if you see the wife of light, what do? You make a certain bracha. You remember what the bracha was? I don't remember offhand what the bracha is, but in Perek Aroi, in the last parak of different things, if you see this, you make this bracha. If you see this, so Gemara says you make a certain bracha if you see the wife of light. So the Radal asks, the Rambam Hilchos Brachas brings out all these different Gemaras, the different things that you see, what bracha you're supposed to make, and the Rambam doesn't bring down what the bracha you make if you see the wife of light. Why not? So the Radal says, the pshat is because by the Rambam's time it already didn't exist anymore because of this story that the Yama Melech swallowed it up or whatever. That's what the Radal says. Yeah, that's why the Rambam didn't bring it down, because it wasn't again anymore.
Oh, the Yama Melech swallowed it up.
That's the theory.
The Yama Melech got into a fight
with
light.
I don't know. No, it said that there was an earthquake and the water went out of its normal parameters.
The wife's time has come up.
Yeah, I don't know where he's got this from. I don't know who says this. I don't know where he doesn't say where his source.
A watery grave.
I have to look. I have to try to find it more.
What's the basic source of the Radal?
I don't know. He usually says where he's getting his stuff from. So I looked a little bit into this. I found like this.
Not in this case. In general, there's a general source for
him. No, he says. He's a chashuv person. I don't know exactly what he was. He was Rav. He was.
Maybe this is.
I'm not sure where it will. I'll compare it like this. I found that Josephus in Antiquities of the Jews, he writes explicitly, he writes that the pillar of the wife of light still exists in our time. That's what Josephus writes. So Josephus lives a little bit before Pirkei d'Eliezer. So Josephus and Pirkei d'Eliezer said that the wife of Lot was still there. Rabbeinu Yosef Bechor Shor, that I mentioned before, he's the one who said that she was rain, that the salt covered her. He also writes that she's still visible over there in Eretz Yisrael. Now, how he would know that, I don't know, because he didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, he lives in France. But Rabbeinu Yosef Bechor Shor says that she's still there. Tesis HaShalem also says that she's supposed to be there, that she's supposed to be there forever. She's supposed to be there forever. So it sounds like it's not going to like disappear. On the other hand, there's a safer called Eitzer Masos from J.D. Eisenstein, where he put together a compendium of different Rabbanim who traveled to Eretz Yisrael, and they wrote like a log of their travels. So he put together a sefer which is like a liquid of all those different travelers. It's called Eitzer Masos. He's the same person who put out Eitzer Midrashim and Eitzer Vikuchim, all of different interesting things he put out. So there's one called Rabbeinu Psachia, who I believe the Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg, Masoyes Rabbeinu Psachia, who came to Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote about his experiences visiting Eretz Yisrael. And another one is a letter from the Rav, Rav Avadia Bar Tanura, the famous Rav who wrote the Pirush Mishnayos, and then he wrote the Amar Nikei and Chumash, the Rabbeinu Avadia Bar Tanura. And both of these people write that they couldn't find the wife of light. They went to the Yam HaMelech and they went to visit whatever, and they didn't see it there. So that's already okay. That's after the Rambam that they wrote that they didn't see it. But Rabbeinu Psachia was Talmud of Rutenberg, so that's what, like 1300s. The Vavadia Bar Tanura, I think, it's like 1400s, 1500s. So by that at that point, it wasn't there anymore. So Rabbeinu Yosef Bechor Shor, who lived, let's say, like in the 1200s, he said that it's still there. So let's say we take his word for it and say it's still there. So it was still there in the 1200s, but sometime like in the next 100 or 200 years or so, something happened. And I guess that's, if you go like the Radal, that's when this earthquake or something happened. If you don't go with the Radal, something must have happened that made it disappear or something like that. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. Okay. Any questions? A lot. Ask him.
First one, why would Hashem leave something obvious, in the world that people just like to ask? We wouldn't ask like if the Torah is true or not. Like taking a look at this statue of the pillar of salt and knowing it's what's why. Just like you make tshuva, right away. So why would Hashem want that to be in the world?
It takes away your bechira.
I actually
I saw somebody write that. Sefer Megadim Chadashim, which is where I got some of these sources from. He makes that nukuda. One of the reasons why Hashem would take it away is because it would take away your bechira. I saw somebody write that. Huh? Megadim Chadashim quotes it in the name of somebody. I don't remember where the Megadim Chadashim is either, but he's the one who brought on this Rabbeinu Psachia and the Bar Tanura and the Bechor Shor. But yeah, if we went and dug up in the Jordan River, we found the stones that Yeshua wrote the whole Torah in 70 languages. If we found that at the Jordan River, I guarantee you everyone will become from.
Yeah,
what? Because it's like, there's nothing to say anymore. It's like, what are you going to argue?
So they'll say that back then we're living in new times. No? That's because we're in a new generation. That's why given what happened.
I don't know. I know that they say that, but I don't know if they really believe that. It's just their excuse.
They say every religion is good besides for Judaism. That's what they say in Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
Most Islam is good. Christians, like, everyone's good besides for Judaism.
Yeah. Okay. So we finished the story of Slaim, and next week we're starting a whole new sugya. Perek Chavav is about the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu, which is going to carry us into like a whole bunch of program afterwards. It's going to take us a few weeks. It's going to be hopefully a very gishma. All right. Good to watch.